What's up, D-Squad? Happy Friday and happy last month of 2024. I'm Jisha Seraduhaye, and this is the Discovered Oasis podcast. It's crazy to think that in just a few weeks, we're in 2025. And I know some of you are like, I was done with this year a long time ago. Bring on 2025. And I kind of get it. I do. If I'm being honest, 2024 wasn't quite what I had envisioned for myself. But one thing that I wasn't expecting and that I'm not mad at is the lessons that I learned about letting things happen in their own time. I can tell you for sure, I didn't start this year with this mindset. At the beginning, I was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I had so many things on my to-do list. And when things weren't happening according to my plans and life kind of forced me to take it easy, I was like, okay, I guess I have no choice. So let me sit tight and let things take their own course. And in the sitting tight, I finally was able to put things together and created this podcast, this space for us to have conversations about the motherland. And for that, I am truly grateful. And speaking of conversations, we're kicking off this month with one of the most beautiful conversations I've had with my guests so far. It was for me an absolute pleasure to talk to one and only Makeda Mahadeo. And if you don't know anything about this lady, just keep these three words in mind. She's fun, inspiring, and Jamaican. And when I say Jamaican, what I'm truly saying is vibes, vibes, vibes. And I promise you, you're going to be saying the same thing at the end of this conversation. But in all seriousness, you might have seen Makeda host events in Rwanda, and I mean big events like Miss Rwanda or Kwita Izina. You might have heard her on the radio when she was the presenter and co-producer of Rise and Shine Rwanda. She also was one of Rwanda's first female DJs, which also led her to becoming one of the four judges on East Africa's Got Talent. That was in 2019. And if that wasn't enough, she gave a TEDx talk, which you can find on YouTube. It's called The Moment I Stopped Playing Myself and Started Being Myself. Most fascinating part of it all for me was the fact that it all started when she moved to Rwanda. I obviously wanted to talk to her, for her to take us back to the first day she ever landed in Kigali, not knowing anyone and with no specific plans in her pockets. In our conversation, we talked about her cultural background, building a life in Rwanda, parenting, and the first time we met in Burundi. Well, what I didn't tell her was that I actually met her for the first time in Kigali in 2017. And here's what happened. My friends and I went to this natural hair salon in Kigali, and I believe there weren't so many at the time. And I remember standing in the doorway and just seeing this tall, elegant, beautiful lady with curly hair walking towards me. And I started smiling at her. Not because she was pretty, but because it took me no time to realize it was Makeda standing 2 meters away from me. She obviously had no idea who I was. So to be polite, she just smiled back and that was it. And for 2 seconds, I was like, hold on. Why is she not enthusiastic at the idea of seeing me? And then it clicked. Well, she doesn't know who I am. Obviously, she's not going to be enthusiastic. So I went back to my chair, very disappointed that I didn't get the courage to tell her how much I loved her video content and how much she inspires me as a storyteller. But as life would have it, we met again in Burundi in 2022, and we kind of talked about it in this conversation. So let's jump in. I want to start with asking you the story behind your name.
My name was given to me by my mother. She's a Jamaican woman. She's a Rasta. My name was originally supposed to be Judith. And then she was like, something wasn't connecting. She was like, it was Judith for the longest time. And then someone asked her, what's the baby's name going to be? And she was like, well, Judith. But then he was like, but you don't seem like you're sure. Anyway, long story short, she ended up changing it to Makeda last minute, which, what am I? Would I have been a Judith? So yeah, the name Makeda is Ethiopian and it's the Queen of Sheba. So I think, you know, a lot of Rastas connect to that name and to the story of the Queen of Sheba and everything like that. So that's how I got that name. Do I have any random names? Not officially, but my dad told me that he wanted to name me Uisoni after his sister, but it's not in any of my government names. Let's say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And is your last name, does he have a meaning?
So, okay, it does have a meaning. Apparently it means love God, but it's okay. Not even like my last name. I mean, it is my last name. That one's a long story. Not
for another day.
For another day. Voila.
I actually didn't know what Makeda. I know about the Queen of Sheba, obviously, but I didn't know that Makeda was from that. I'm actually glad I asked a question. Okay, so your dad is Rwandan and your mom is Jamaican. So you grew up in Jamaica, right? Mm-hmm. And you wanted to reconnect with your roots. So somehow you moved to Rwanda. I want you to take me through that journey. What was the thing in your mind that made you like, I'm going. Did you have any friends? Did you have any family? What headspace were you in when you made that decision?
Okay. I think it's easy for me to say, or for us to say, like, I just wanted to reconnect to my roots, so I just came back. But really, it was like, I had grown up not knowing anything, basically, about Rwanda. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with my father very active in my life. And so I didn't have any concept at all about this place growing up. I didn't think about it, to be honest with you, until I was almost finished college. And that's because in university, I studied literature and I read a lot of African writers. And to be honest, that's what kind of opened up my mind to this whole other world and made me think like, okay, like I may not be close with my dad. I may not have been raised by him or by his family, but I, you know, this is a part of me. And I just became very curious. After that, I ended up going to New York. I moved to New York. And I just met so many people from so many different parts of Africa. And I met people from Rwanda. And I started to learn a bit more. And I started to kind of like try to get a bit closer to my dad. I asked him some questions about Rwanda. I went to a Rwandan convention. And that just made me, it made me a little bit less intimidated by the idea of Rwanda. Because before that, all I knew about was the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi.
Yes.
I ended up through meeting people from Rwanda, through asking my dad more questions, through going to Rwanda Day, making friends, meeting family, talking to people, it became a bit more of a clearer picture of what this Rwanda was. It just so happened that my mom was actually going to Ethiopia for a trip. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with you. I didn't want her to go by herself anyway. So I was like, I'm just going to go with you. I'll like drop you off in Ethiopia. I'll see that you're good. And then I heard that Rwanda's close by. I'm just going to like see if I can tack on a trip. And I'm just going to go there. Now, this is like, I didn't know a single solitary soul in Rwanda. Not a soul, not one soul.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about like the confidence of youth. I don't know. I think about it. And I'm like, girl, would I do that today? I don't know. I wrote to my dad when I already had the ticket and everything. And I was just like, I'm going to Rwanda. So if you know someone I can crash with. And he was like, yeah, I have a brother that can pick you up and, you know, and you can stay with him. And I had never met him either. And I just like wrote to him and I was like, I'm on my way. I have on a brown sweater. And
wow,
I'm going to be at the airport at this time. And then I got there and I remember like my stomach was in knots. Oh my gosh. I was like, what the heck am I doing? And I was like, what if I just like don't, because I don't know who I'm looking for. I can't believe I did it. I'm telling you, I think back now and I'm like, what? I didn't have like any cell phone that would work. Like, I mean, I had my cell, but like, you know, back in those days, girl.
Yeah.
So I got there and I just saw like two guys like waving like crazy. And I was like, okay, that's my energy. I feel like those are probably my people. And it was my uncle and my cousin. And I just like waved back and they were like, hey! And I was just like, oh my gosh, okay, cool. And they just ended up like being, oh my gosh, the best. Like that uncle till now, he's like my second dad. That cousin, he introduced me to Rhonda. And from then I kind of just like, I always felt very comfortable here. So I ended up extending mm-hmm. that ticket for a couple of weeks. And then I went back to Ethiopia. But then I was like, oh, before I go back to the States, you know, let me just go back to Rhonda for a bit. And then it kind of just like, I just kept making more trips and staying for a longer time. And then eventually I just ended up being here, girl. I don't know how.
Look at you today. How many years ago was that?
155 years ago. 155 years ago. Or 156. Something like that.
Oh my God.
A long, long time.
You know, I when you were talking, I kept wanting to know if there was a first, like the first thing that made you like, yeah, I will come back here. Was it the people? Was it just how beautiful the country looked? What was it?
I'll tell you what. Okay. Well, when I first came back, it's because my dad, who wasn't living in the country at that time, had come back for the holiday and I was still in Ethiopia. So he was like, I'm going to be there. And your brother, because I have like a half brother on his side, he's going to be there too. So just telling you. And I was still in Ethiopia. So I was just like, I mean, I've already started this journey. I might as well just go over there. So I came back. That was the first time I came back. But by then I had already made so many friends from the first time. I had the cousin, I had the uncle. And again, like, I just liked the energy of the place. And it was just, I mean, it was a time in my life when I was doing just a lot of exploring. And I was so open for the first time in my life to Rhonda, to be honest. Because I wasn't close with my dad, I kind of just like associated Rhonda with him. And I was just like, I'm not close with him. I'm not close with Rhonda. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, that's just its own thing. And I'm over here. Mm-hmm. And so when I managed to come, I was able to like repair a lot of things with my dad. I was able to repair just my entire concept of Rhonda, because again, the only thing I knew about Rhonda was genocide. So it was even hard for me to be like, you know, I was just like, ooh, that's a lot, you know? But for the first time, I was so open to just learning everything. And so it was like, I don't know. It was like a baby, you know? And I was like, this is actually my culture. I'm looking around. I'm seeing people who look like me. I'm seeing my family members. I'm hearing stories about, you know, first cousins and aunts and, you know, grandparents and stuff. And it was just like a whirlwind. And then, and so unfortunately, my dad did end up passing away. But like at first, what that did for me was it was like, okay, well, that journey is over. So maybe my journey with Rhonda is over. But when I did leave, and then when I was away, I was like, but it's not over. Something was just like, I have not learned everything I wanted to learn. I have not done what I wanted to do. And so that's when I came back and I just felt inspired to like learn everything that I could. So that's when I started like YouTubing and like telling all these stories about things that I would find. And like, that's when I was just like on a mission to be like, oh, okay. So, you know, I'm actually interested in this. I'm here. I put my foot there and I knew I felt a little tingle and now I'm in.
Yeah. You know, I love one of the reasons why I wanted for us to talk about your journey is truly the fact that you've made it seem as like a personal journey. It wasn't like a person trying to push you to go discover Rhonda or your roots per se. It truly felt like it was, you know, you were like, okay, let's. And I love even how you're telling the story, because it's like, I didn't know much, but I was like, let me just go. Yes, it might have been the youth, you know, but there's so much beauty in that as well, right? How easy or how hard was it for you to build friendships? Because you're coming from like, you know, you only know two people, your uncle and your cousin.
Yeah.
And that's it. And today you've started a whole family, you know. So I believe friendship was like a huge component of, you know, the reasons why you wanted to stay.
I'll be honest with you, it was really easy. But I'm also someone that, like, I don't know, I'm social, but I'm not the best at, like, I only want to find a way to make it sound better just because, like, I hate that about myself. I'm just not good at keeping up, you know, as much as I want to. And so I'm always able to, like, make friends. That's fine. But it's been hard for me to keep friends. When I came, yeah, like, making friends, I made so many. I had so much fun. I mean, again, I came in a time when I was just, like, so open. Like, I was just like, bring it all in. I want to meet all the people. I want to learn all the history. I want to learn all the words. I want to hear all the songs. I want to eat all the food. I want to do everything. And so that just left me in an extremely open space where I could, like, really embrace people. And that was good. And we had good times and we had not great times. But that was, I think, being introduced by my cousin was also something really great, just because, you know, like, I knew that I could trust these people that he trusted because he's family. And, you know, even though I had just met him, I think that was really a helpful thing as well. But also, there were so many people at that time that were coming back to the country that, you know, like, it was my first time, but a lot of people, you know, that I had made friends with, they had lived outside. And so many of us had similar stories, or they were visiting or whatever. So, like, it was, we had so much in common. I mean, I had so much in common with so many of the friends that I had made, that it was super organic, and it was really, it was just a nice time.
Do you remember your first gig as a DJ?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I don't know if I can call it a gig because I was not paid, but I threw my own party and DJed it myself because I wanted to just try and DJ. And I was like, let me just throw a party.
Yeah. Was it your first ever, or was it your first in Kigali?
It was my first ever.
Had you did? Oh,
I never was a DJ before. I never even thought of it before.
I honestly thought it's something you had been doing for a long time, but only now we get to see you because you're in Kigali and you're vlogging. And
no.
What made you want to do it?
Because I'll tell you what made me want to do it. I grew up in Jamaica, musical country, as everybody knows. But you would think that, you know, like, yes, reggae music, dancehall, everything comes from Jamaica, but it's like, if you go to the island, it's, everyone has it in them. Like, it's, you will hear people singing and DJing, like, as, and when I said DJ, I mean, like singing dancehall down, up and down the streets. Like, there's music everywhere. And so it was a big part of my life. I mean, I wasn't a DJ, but I loved music and I collected music and I had a passion for it. When I came to Rwanda, I had been partying a lot, as young people do, but I just didn't hear the music that I loved and that I partied to. And so I had made so many new friends that I just wanted to create an experience where I could share with them what I loved, essentially, is what it came down to. And so I didn't know how to DJ in my first gig. I just, like, put on iTunes, child, and I was just playing songs. So many people came and everybody was lit. And I was like, hold on, this is actually really cool. And I, like, you know, downloaded Virtual DJ. And then that's how that all kind of transpired. But, like, yeah, I did my own party and I just played some songs, child.
The thing that I love about it is because, how do you know how long ago was that? What year was it that you first, that you did your first thingy?
Oh my gosh, what year was it that I did my first gig? 2012?
Let's say it was 2012, okay? So you came to Burundi, which is where we first met, in 2022. And you were coming to DJ an event.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, it's wild. Because 10 years later, you were just, you know, out there, like, being invited to events, to DJ. It was
just and wonderful.
That was after like a while of being kind of out of it too. First time in Burundi.
Oh my God. First time in Burundi. Did you love it?
I loved it. You know what?
Yeah.
It was really, really, it was so cool to see a country so similar to Rwanda that I've heard so many stories about. But the people are so, the people are so different. The languages are so similar. You look around, the place looks kind of similar. We don't have the big lake in Kigali, but like, there's so many similarities, but like, I feel like the vibe was just so different. And I was like, okay, I can see what people mean. Like, Burundi's a vibe.
Like, whenever I talk to Rwandans, they feel like down to earth. Even the language, how slow it is. Burundians are like yuppers. We're like, I'm yup all the time.
But you have to understand, like, I'm from Jamaica. So we crazy.
Yes.
So I was like, hold up. hold up. These might be my, there's my something people here as well, huh? Like, seriously.
Because you're from Jamaica, and I love that you're talking about this, because I would assume that there are so many cultural differences that you were able to see or experience the first few months or the first few years. What was the one that like shook you? They're like, hey, this is not how we would do it in Jamaica.
I mean, there are so many, like so many, so many. When I first came, I mean, like everything was different, but definitely, people staring was a big one. Like people in Rwanda stare, period. I love my Rwandans all day, every day, 100%. Love you to death. Love you down. But they stare.
Yes. And this is Burundians the same, girl. It was one of the things that shook me when I went back. I was like, why is everybody literally looking at me? Yeah. What's wrong with me?
Yeah. And you really, like, at first you really feel like, do I have a big red dot on my head or something? Like, what is going on? But then you realize, no, actually everyone's just staring at everyone else. Like, it's not even like I'm special. It's just a cultural thing. Like, people stare and it's not even rude. Because at first I was just like, why is everyone being so aggressive towards me? Like, you trying to fight or what?
Yes.
And you said, like, something that happens different from, you know, where I was coming from. I was coming from Jamaica. But even in the States, like, you don't just stare at people like that. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
You want to take it outside or what?
You know how I've explained it to myself? That it's because it's small, at least Burundi, right? Bujumbura is really small and everybody thinks they know each other. Like everybody thinks they know everybody. So maybe they stare just to be like, is that you?
I don't know what the case is. That could be it. I don't think so. I honestly think that people are just curious and they're just looking and I don't think they realize how they look. You know what I mean?
True,
like, I don't think
true,
they realize
true.
That you see them staring. It's almost like when you watch, when you're looking at like a flower or something and you're just like kind of zoning out on it, but people do it with other people. And I just don't think they realize it. Cause someone will be like aggressively staring at you and then you wave and it's like, they're like kind of snapped out of a trance or something.
I
and
agree.
Then just like wave back or smile. And you're
like, that's okay. True. It's like, oh, so you forgot you were staring at me? Like, what happened there?
Like, you didn't think I would see you? Like, babe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest things. That and, like, how quiet Rwandans are. Rwandans are, like, have quiet voices, tend to, like, speak in a kind of hushed tone sometimes. Not all, but, like, majority. And so I found that also to be, like, because Jamaicans are very not like that. So that was also something that I was that I had to kind of get used to. I took in all of the different, you know, the cultural differences, and I was just like, that's just incredible, you know.
Have you had any moments so far that have made you feel like I belong here, like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be?
I wouldn't say it's like any moments or anything. I just feel like everything that happened in my life, but also, like, you know, since coming to Rwanda was so organic and nothing was forced and nothing was like, you know, everything kind of just happened. Mm. And so that's what makes me feel like, you know, it was just supposed to go that way. But as I've grown to become more spiritual, I guess you could say, that's how, I mean, like, now I'm just like, there's no, I believe that we kind of don't have a choice in the matter of things, you know, with like wherever you are, that's where you're supposed to be. Even if you feel like you're not supposed to be there, even if it feels wrong with everything, it's like babe, you are there, and that means you that's where you're supposed to be.
You know,
maybe it's not where you're supposed to be tomorrow, but it's where you're supposed to be now. So I feel like that was just my story. I think what I'm kind of, the place where I'm at right now is just like, what's this crazy life going to bring next? Because I didn't sit down with a pen and paper and plan this out, you know, like it just kind of happened this way. So it does really make you think like, what y'all got in store for me?
I don't think you realize how much you embracing your journey has impacted so many people. Because again, for you, it was just going with the flow and, you know, being like a sponge and taking everything in and just vlogging. But for most people, and you've seen it, we've had conversations when you were in Bujumbura and a bunch of us were like,
you guys were, oh my gosh.
Girl. We were like, she has no idea. Again, we're from Burundi. This is the stuff that we're supposed to know because Rwanda is so similar to Burundi and whatever. But just seeing how beautiful you filming your regular day or talking about the most mundane moments that you would have in Kigali, you would just be like, hey, all of us have those moments, but somehow we complain about them or like we don't see them as beautiful moments when we should.
Yeah.
And it's just like hearing you talk about, you know, just going with the flow, embracing it. It's like, you vlogging about it has been just amazing for all of us. Aww. And you sharing your story. So I really do hope that even this conversation would make people want to go on YouTube, look you up. And oh, I know you haven't created so much content in a while, but that's okay.
Because
even
of those
the stuff
videos.
That's there,
my goodness. Please, Gen Z,
I was still.
You know what? It's my story, okay? I walked so y'all can run. Listen.
I love it. One thing that I wanted to touch on, and you kind of touched on it a bit when you talked about, you know, your cousin and how he introduced you to people. What has it been like for you to find community today as a mother? Has it been easy? Has it been hard? What have you learned from other Rwandan mothers, if anything?
It's been both. I say both because I find that like all mothers, okay, I'm not going to speak for all mothers, but like a lot of mothers, your favorite topic is your children. You know, unless you're talking to another mother, nobody really wants to hear about all that. They're just like, okay, babe, we get it. You have a child or whatever. So it's been easy for me to find people to talk to because I have a lot of friends who have children and even friends who had children at the same time as me. Or people, you know, who have had children before, like everyone's willing to talk about motherhood. And that's been really nice. And like on a different level, you know, so it's like we're almost like in this club where you're like, girl, and it's like, girl, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like we all kind of see each other in that special way. And so that's been easy, but it's not been, I'm still kind of in, you know, my baby's still young. So I'm still kind of in like, the postpartum era. And when I say postpartum, I mean like, you know, like still kind of just getting back to myself, still kind of getting back into the world of, you know, when you have a small baby, it's like 100% of the time, day and night, it's baby all day, baby. And so in that, you can kind of lose a sense of yourself a little bit. Or maybe let's say the person that you used to be or who you know yourself as. And so it's been easy to talk to other mothers and find that community, but I would love to be able to like spend more time and, you know, be able to kind of, I guess you could say like nourish that part of those relationships and like kind of get more into it. Cause it can only be like a text here and there, maybe a call, you know, maybe if we're really good, a lunch, you know?
Yes.
But everyone's kind of out here, you know, trying to get their motherhood on and it's just a moment in time that you really just have to embrace for what it is. It's exactly like what we were saying before, you know, like where you are is where you're supposed to be. So that's been where I've been at.
Has your mom been able to come and see you? since you've given birth?
No, she hasn't been able to come. So I'm going to go see her soon. We've been on FaceTime like every day. So
the reason why I was asking is because to me, it's like, of course, she raised you in Jamaica, but now you're raising your baby in Rwanda. Like being able to see that parallel somehow, it's like, oh, this is how you do things here. But this is how we used to do it in Jamaica. So that's why I was asking, because I'm assuming there are so many differences as well.
I've heard so many stories about how she raised us, like me and my siblings. And I see like how my sister raised her child. And like, you know, I know how it's done in my Caribbean, you know, heritage. But there have been so many things that I'd never heard of here. My nanny, you know, she's an older lady and she's taken care of, I don't know how many children and helped to raise them up. And like on a daily basis, we're just like, what? You do it this way? What? You do it this way?
Which, yeah. Kind
of like, always kind of looking at each other crazy because we're just like, but it's, you know, it's cool to see what, just to learn, like, even through having a child, I'm still learning about Rwandan culture. You know what I mean?
I love that. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I mean, I think my mom is just so fascinated with everything. She's just like, your baby's already speaking three languages, can't even say mama yet, but you know, we're all speaking to her and to him in different languages. And so yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Have you thought of one particular thing, and maybe this is too early, that you want your baby to be able to inherit from your Rwandan heritage? Like, is there one particular trait that you like, Rwandans do it this way, I would love for my son to, you know, to do it this way as well?
I wouldn't say that there's like a cultural trait that I really want him to inherit from Rwanda. Mm-hmm. I would say like I pray that he is able to speak Kinyarwanda fluently. That's what I want, because I know that my journey would have been so much easier if I could. So that's one thing that I would love for him to be able to have. But if there is a trait, or if there is, we don't even call it a trait, just something that I would like for him to inherit from, let's say from me, is what I feel like I inherited from my parents, which was just like the ability to feel like I could do whatever I wanted to do. I never had any restrictions placed on me, obviously not by my father, but not by my mom either. Like I was honestly raised in a way where I felt that I could do whatever it was that I wanted to do. And so I think because of that, I was able to just like explore and let life happen instead of just stressing over every single moment. And I should be doing this. I never had that feeling of like, I should be, as far as building a certain type of career or anything like that, you know. Both of my parents were kind of rebellious growing up and have that spirit in them and have been kind of the, I don't want to say black sheep, but like different, you know, the different ones in their family. And so that gave me a sense of like, what y'all gonna say? Like,
yeah, the freedom.
To me, yeah. You know? And I like that about myself, and I was able to, because of that, just explore and follow where life wanted to bring me, you know. And I've seen friends and family and other people in my life that have been kind of bogged down by expectations and different things, and it's been very stressful for them. And I really hope that I'm able to give my son that, you know, that spirit of, you can do whatever you want to do, just do something. Don't not do anything.
Yes.
Do something, but I'm not going to judge you. You know, like, over here, you're good. Whatever you want to do, you're good. Yeah.
You know, it's, I know we don't have the time for that conversation today, but it's one thing that I would definitely want to have people talk more about, the idea that this new generation of African parents, we have the potential to do things differently, because our parents, you know, were like, oh, you gotta be a doctor, or you gotta be, you know, like, we know the stereotypical, you know, African parents that the old generations were. And I feel like we have the potential to do things differently. And what you just said is like one example of that, you know, allowing your children to be able to be free in whatever stuff they want to do, whatever, you know, journey they want to be on, as long as they're doing something, as you said.
Right,
so,
right, yeah, right. Like, that I is can beautiful. Show you one way, and if you're interested in this way, you go this way. If you don't want to, you go whatever way you want to go. You just got to be able to pay your bills, babe, and be happy with yourself at the end of the day.
So before we wrap this up, I had three questions for you. One is, what is your favorite spot in the city? In Kigali, yes.
My
what is
home.
Your oh, your home. That's
Morogo.
It.
Best place to be, baby. It's the best place in this whole hair city. Morogo. I mean,
Nora else.
Straight up. Straight up. I mean, I...
Is it... Yeah. Why?
I mean, what do you mean, why? I think I've just, like... I've just cultivated a space that is so me and just so cozy and also... Like, you know, I've just gone through so many stages, and as a part of my work, I have to go out, you know, for so many years, even with vlogging and stuff, but also with like DJing, with MCing, you know, being involved in events and stuff, like I had to be outside. And so now I took some time off, you know, with having a baby and everything. And even before that, just to like kind of get my mind right. And within that time, I've realize that like I've gone inward a lot, and I think that like I've been able to create a space at home that kind of reflects the comfort that I've managed to find like inward, and so like when I'm home I just feel super duper 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 comfortable, but I know that's not maybe what you had meant when you asked what my favorite spot in Kigali was.
That was a perfect answer. Like, okay, I'm not trying to get anything else.
Okay, good.
And I think it beautifully speaks about all that we've been talking about throughout this podcast. You know, like it all goes back to yourself and home. Like for all of us, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, no, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
The other question is, who is your favorite, your current favorite artist? And it could be a songwriter. It could be a painter, a fashion designer. Anything. African. It just has to be African.
Oh my gosh. There's no way that I can. I've been on IG just like following everybody. I've been on a rampage. Just like if I find any cool things that you're doing, I've just been so inspired by people who are using their creativity unapologetically. Like, so it's so hard for me to think of one person right now because it's like I've been going beast mode on just like loving what so many people are doing. Just know that these people who are like doing their thing in, especially I'm loving animation right now. There's a lot of like Rwandan animators, super cool. I'm loving architects. Mm-hmm. I'm loving fashion designers. Anybody that like I can tell that they're really pouring themselves into it and I can like see their passion through their work. That is what's inspiring me right now. Like, like crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Y'all, if anybody's listening, DM me whatever you're working on. I will follow you because I've been out
there. Makeda is there for you.
I'm here. I got you.
I love it. Last question for you. If you had the possibility to fly to any African country today, where would it be and why?
You know what? I would go to Ivory Coast.
Côte d'Ivoire.
Just because like I've just always been curious. I've been curious about it. I've never been to like a French speaking West African country. And now that like I've been practicing my French skills, I feel like I could finally go and like communicate with people. And I've been following so many creatives from Côte d'Ivoire as well. And they're like doing so many incredible things. And I know that they have the sea, you know, I know they have the good, you know, seafood and they have the weather and everything that I know I would just like enjoy everything to the fullest. So I think I would definitely choose Côte d'Ivoire if I could just pick up and go somewhere right now that I've never been to before. I think it would be there. They seem like they got the vibe.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It is so vibrant. And the people and the city and everything. It's just Côte d'Ivoire. Yeah.
Right?
It's a good destination. Have you been there? But only for a couple months. But I promise you,
What do you mean it, only it for was a couple like, months?
It was just
not only a couple months. You see people like us who just be out here just living in different places. We're like, only for a couple months. What? That's a long
leave
time.
Leave there for 3 months. But I promise you. All those months I was like, oh. And it was my second West African country. And it was like the first where I actually felt like home. Like the first one wasn't all that. And maybe it was also how young I was. I didn't quite enjoy it. But like Côte d'Ivoire, I was like, yeah, I'm coming back for sure. So Straight up. I think you would love it.
Thank you.
We did it. This was amazing. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the time. Because again, motherhood. But I appreciate you so much.
Oh man, happy to do it. And congratulations on your podcast. So proud of you. Hey, go girl.
Thank you.
One of the people that's inspiring me, man. Doing your thing unapologetically, having your conversations, creating your narrative, like moving and shaking. We love to see it, baby girl.
Isn't this Makeda saying I am inspiring her? I'm my week is
150,000%. Yes.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for all the positive words that you pour into me. Again, off camera and off whatever, we've spoken and I've told you where I inspire to be. It's like, I want to be in the rooms Makeda have been in before. That's like
bigger
my
ones,
goal.
Better
and
one.
You're like, bigger ones. Exactly. And I appreciate you so much. Thank you for supporting me always for doing this. And yeah,
it's
have a beautiful rest of your day.
It's a pleasure. You too, babe.
Okay. I need to know. Remember the three words I used at the beginning to describe her? Was I right or was I not? Let me know. You know what this conversation reminded me of? It's the fact that sometimes the best things in life happen when we just embrace the path that we're on and go with the flow. And I know it's hard, but what's so cool about Makeda's story is we got to hear how she moved to Rwanda, didn't give up on her Caribbean heritage. Instead, she took that, used it, and created a beautiful blend of culture. And we know what happened when she decided to become a DJ and built her circle of friends online and in real life. Just by being herself, it's just refreshing to see somebody who's just one with the flow and has made it work. I'm going to leave some links in the descriptions for you to check out her work, the videos that we talked about, and even more. If you like this conversation at all, share it with somebody who would love it, or just send me a DM to let me know that you did. You can also rate this podcast on whatever platform you listen to. Those who have rated on Apple Podcasts, I see you and I appreciate you. I love the comments on Spotify. Keep them coming. Thank you so much for that. And don't forget, no matter where you're in life, there is always a path to discovering your own oasis. I'll talk to you soon.